welcome everyone to the Longhorn Republic, your source for Texas Longhorn news, sports, and opinions with a bit of snark built in. We are a member of the 1012 Podcast Network. You can find all the great coverage of the Big 12 over at 1012network.com. If you like what we do, please leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It helps get the show out there. Share this with friends wherever you found it. Helps the show get out there to all of your friends. And again, wherever you find fine podcast content, you can find Kyle and myself. Connect with us on social media at Longhorn Pod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Longhorn Republic. Shoot us an email, longhornrepublicpod@gmail.com. I'll start to remind you, this podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Charlie Hustle Clothing Company. They are a vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel. They want you to be the best dressed fan all year long, so be sure to check out their stuff. With more than 30 schools to choose from, they've got you covered with all of your collegiate apparel needs, and you can get 15% off any non-sale item by using the code 101215, that's TEN1215 at checkout. Shop today over at charliehustle.com. Charlie Hustle, vintage made fresh. My name is Gerald Goodridge, my host this week, like I am every week, and I'll be joined in a few minutes by the man himself, the Director's Cup Days himself, Brett Wilkinson, to give us his rundown of the Director's Cup. So to set that up, I'm going to run you through all of the incredible action that happened on campus this weekend, and it starts, not just on campus, but around campus and around the state, but it starts on the diamond. Texas going to Lubbock and proving that championships run through Lubbock, winning the Big 12 championship with a sweep of the Texas Tech Red Raiders to win the first outright championship, regular season championship since 2010. Closed the regular season with 16 consecutive wins, including 5 run rules, 3 of which came this weekend Friday, a 13-3 win over the Red Raiders. Saturday, 23-0, and then Sunday, 14-4. Absolute display of dominance. And perhaps most importantly, Texas closes out the academic season and their tenure in the Big 12 with scoreboard in literally every sport over the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Friday night, Mack Morgan got chased early, but Tegan Caven came in and got the win with her 4 innings pitched. Texas fell behind, but then went 3-3-7 in the second, third, and fourth innings to take that 13-2 lead to set up the run rule. Leanne Good hit an RBI single and an RBI double. Bella Dayton hit a 2 RBI single. And Viviana Martinez set an RBI walk and then an RBI double in that string. On Saturday, Reese Atwood continued her march through the record books with a 3-run home run in the first and a 3-run home run in the third. She scored 9, because you have to also count the sack fly and the 2-run single. So 9 on the day, including 6 on 2 swings of the bats. Lolly Gutierrez finishes her perfect year with 5 innings of work, giving up 3 hits and striking out 6. And then on Sunday, it was the Martinez and Atwood show. Martinez went 2-for-3 with a RBI single, a 2-run home run, and a sack fly, while Reese Atwood hit numbers 20 and 21 on the year, a solo home run and a 2-run home run to give Texas its 13th and 14th run on the day, setting up that run rule. So Texas, again, won its first outright regular season Big 12 championship since 2010. That is number 12, count them, 12 on the year, with a opportunity to win some more. But that is the 7th time and the 2nd year in a row that Texas has won at least 7 Big 12 championships. Texas now is the number 1 seed in the Big 12 tournament. They'll face the winner of Texas Tech and Iowa State on Thursday. So a big one for Texas. Again, they got another trophy on the way out the door. And this is what Mike White was hired to do, right? When Texas hired Mike White a few years ago, this is why Chris Del Conte went out and got him. This is why Texas built. Texas is set up really well to go in the SEC, which is another solid, solid softball conference. And again, beating OU on the way out of the Big 12 for this is massive for the momentum of Texas. Because again, OU has been the standard, not just in the Big 12, but nationally. OU has been the standard. And so Texas managing to do this. Now, if they can't get it done in the tournament, that's another conversation to be had. But Texas able to get it done when it mattered on the field. So we'll see how they turn out. The Big 12 tournament will start this weekend. Again, they'll face the winner of Tech and Iowa State, and then the winner of Baylor and UCF if they can win in the first round. Baseball was in action as well and got a great weekend series win over number 14 Oklahoma State, but could not get the sweep. Friday, a 7-5 win. They actually trailed 5-4 heading into the bottom of the 7th, and then Texas took advantage of OSU's pitching woes. Texas led wire to wire on Saturday, and Ace Whitehead, the man himself, went 4 1/3 inning, giving up just 1 hit and 1 earned run, striking out 3. Texas was tied when Andre Duplantier came in to close out the game, he went 2-1, giving up just one hit and an earned run. He got his first win of the year, usually the closer for Texas. Sunday, Texas couldn't win the last one. They lost 7-2 in that one. Oklahoma State jumped out to a 4-0 lead, and Texas just could not overcome that. Texas scored its only runs of the game in that one via solo home runs from O'Dowd and Schlusher in the 7th and 9th innings. LeBaron Johnson continues to struggle, grabbed another loss in this one. He's 2-4 on the year, gave up 4 earned runs on 7 hits. So Texas moved into, with that, a 3-way tie for 3rd place, 1 game back from OU. So there's still an opportunity for Texas to pick one up. And again, this Texas team needed to probably get a sweep this weekend to really put itself in position. But Texas, with the way that they have struggled this year, being in position, even being in the conversation to win the conference, is absolutely wild to me. So I'm just glad that they're in the run. Again, not a perfect team, but they seem to be getting hot at the right time. They lost to Sunday for the first time in a while, but that's okay because they won a Friday also for the first time in a while. So they got the opportunity there. Next up for Texas, they've got the weekend series in Orlando against UCF. And then 2 weeks from now, they'll close out the regular season against Kansas at home. Setting up our conversation for the Director's Cup dates are our next couple of updates on the 40 acre. So the men's golf team earned the 3 seed in the Austin Regional. They'll be competing next week, Monday through Wednesday, the 16th consecutive NCAA championship appearance for Texas golf, which is the 16th longest active streak in D1 golf. That Austin Regional features Tennessee, Arkansas, Texas, UGA, and rounding out that top 5. How it works, that the top 5 teams in that will advance to the NCAA championships at the end of May in Carlsbad, California. The number 10 Texas women's team already in NCAA competition. They are tied for 5th after the Monday outing. I'm recording this at 8:26 on a Monday evening. They're tied for 5th. Angela Hill fired a 3-under-69 at the Bermuda Run Regional that's being hosted by Wake Forest in Winston-Salem. Host Wake Forest leads at 11-under. Tennessee is in 2nd at 10. Ole Miss and Mississippi are tied at 3rd. And then Texas, Oregon State are tied for 5th. So Texas had a good opening round, 12 birdies on the front 9 on that one. They actually had the 3rd most birdies with 17 for the opening round. They're pairing on Tuesday with Mississippi State and Oregon. That'll tee off real early tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time. So Texas has the grouping of Angel Hill, Lauren Kim, Selena Liao, Cindy Sue, and Farrah O'Keefe are all in action. So Texas has an opportunity again to move up. It's moving day for the ladies. We'll have to get some action from them. They'll have to make a big move on Tuesday or Wednesday to stay alive again. The top 5 teams again will advance, so they've got an opportunity to set themselves up to go to Carlsbad in the end of the month, in 2 weeks. And then finally, actively in action right now, men's and women's tennis both advance to the 2nd weekend of the NCAA tournament. Number 3 men's tennis did it with a pair of sweeps, a 4-0 sweep over Sacramento State and a 4-0 sweep over number 25 UCLA. That sets up the big bad rivalry in Austin. They'll host number 17 Texas A&M on Friday. Nothing would feel better than beating Texas A&M to go to the Elite 8 of the tennis tournament in Austin. On the ladies' side, they advanced to the Super Regionals as well against number 8 UCLA. So they got it by sweeping Harvard on Saturday and then eking it out past number 24 Georgia Tech on Sunday. So they've got to travel to Los Angeles to take on the Bruins. This will be a tough one for them, but obviously Texas in position to continue to keep its season alive and get one of the most successful athletic seasons in school history. Keep it that going. So Director's Cup points on the line for Tech. So with that 10-minute monologue over, we will bring on the man himself, the Director's Cup dater himself, Brett Wilkinson, coming to us live from Louisiana, right? New Orleans?
That's right, New Orleans.
Man.
Coming to the Sugar Bowl.
One of Kyle's favorite places in the world. We're celebrating, even though he's not here, he's at home with his wife and wonderful child. Brett is subbing in this week. As I told you, it's coming up to that time of year. It's coming up to Director's Cup season. And if you aren't aware, the Director's Cup, Brett, like it is... there are multiple awards that are given to the top athletic department in the country. But I think based on your estimation, a lot of people's estimation, like this one probably has the most chutzpah to it, right? This is the one that's kind of the most prestigious. Does it feel right to say that?
I think that's fair. I think the Capital One Cup is up there as well. Two big distinctions. The Capital One Cup gives two awards, one for men's sports and one for women. So, you know, this is the only one that combines the two into one overarching athletic department. And so respect for the Capital One Cup. They weight their scores to favor the headline sports, so to speak. So those sports do get quite a bit more points. I think it's a 3-time multiplier for the more headline sports. So the winners, there's a lot of overlap, but they do vary from the Director's Cup. They also provide updates to the people on a regular basis, which the Director's Cup does not do. And that's where I've stepped in to fill the void over on Twitter at @direct_cupdate. So follow me there for updates if you're not already.
You should be. Period. End of sentence. If you're not following Direct Cup Dates, the Director's Cup Dates, you've got the Cup Dater himself here. So, like, you know, it's been back and forth with Texas and Stanford. Correct me if I'm wrong. Texas won two in a row. Stanford came roaring back last year and kind of reclaimed it, right? A lot of the recalculations in this was because Stanford won it basically every year based on their, like, I don't want to say bevy because that feels like I'm, like, making, but, like, they have more sports than anybody else, right?
31 sports, they actually are bypassed by schools like Ohio State and Michigan that have 32 sports. So Stanford's not at the very top, but they're up there compared to, you know, a small school like Texas. As everybody knows it as the teeny tiny athletic department. But Texas has 20. And, you know, a lot of your other big programs, your SEC programs, they're typically sitting around 20, 21 programs. So for Stanford and these Big Ten schools to have 30 plus, I mean, it is a big advantage in the Director's Cup.
So for those of us, because every podcast is somebody's first, so like we've had you on, you've talked about the scoring, but like give us like a 30,000 foot rundown of, because again, Stanford was able to kind of put their thumb on the scale. So with the scoring system now, again, run us through it real quick to make sure that we all have a good grasp of like how it works.
Yeah, and I'll go 40,000 feet up first. When this first started in 1993, the scoring system was a little different. You would count scores from your 10 best men's sports, your 10 best women's sports, combine those together, and that would give the final score. In 2018, they changed the scoring system. The number of sports went down from 20 to 19. It didn't matter the gender of the sport, and you had to include four sports, which was new. So those were volleyball, both basketball teams, and baseball. So all of that did swing the scales a little bit to favor a school like Texas. And in fact, under the old scoring system, Stanford would be looking to win their, I think, 28th or 29th cup in a row. Texas would not have won under the old scoring system. So, you know, did the new scoring system make it more competitive? Well, no, not really, because the only school competing with Stanford now is Texas, who has just been on an absolute tear under CDC. But it did change a few things, and it has helped Texas win two cups. Stanford did win it last year, and that was, of course, after Stanford won 25 straight to kick this thing off. So, yeah, Stanford went on quite a run up until they made these changes.
I'm still contending that the 22-23 Director's Cup is under protest because of the goose situation at the rowing championships. Like, you know, I'm just saying, like, Stanford, that was the big point swing. With Stanford won, Texas did not win rowing, and it was a natural disaster, essentially.
Yeah, the goose mishap in rowing, and then, you know, you could make a complaint about the, you know, the light ordinances there in Palo Alto playing Stanford in the super regionals, and, you know, our outfielder loses it in these wonky lights that they have at their baseball stadium. So, yeah, those were two big moments in the cup last year. We can protest it, but you know what? We'll just look forward and talk about maybe Texas reclaiming the crown this year.
I mean, I think that's fair. And so, you know, Brett, you've got a rundown. We'll save the prediction for the end, but, like, you know, with the spring semester winding up, you know, folks are studying for finals. We're in the postseason for softball and baseball's coming around the corner. We're in the postseason for all the country club sports. Where does it stand right now as far as where Texas is at? Stanford is this cheap competition. Like, where are we sitting currently?
Yeah, I just posted my updated top 10 this past weekend after men's volleyball and beach volleyball wrapped up. And I think some Texas fans were a little alarmed to see that Stanford has a 300-point lead right now. Stanford is way out in front. They're sitting at 1,042 points, with Texas in second at 746 points. So it's nearly a 300-point spread. You know, a few schools there close behind Texas with around 700 points as well. But this is what happens every year. We get to this part of the year. Stanford has completed 20 sports at this point. 16 of those have scored points versus Texas, who's only completed 11. So the score is not really a good indicator of where this race is right now. And that's really why when we start turning into the spring, it's really more so about looking at the predicted finish than it is looking at the current score, because Stanford's going to build this big lead and then Texas will chip away at it as Texas fills up a scorecard, whereas Stanford's already working with a completely filled up scorecard.
And that's been the case the two times that Texas has won it in the past, right? Texas has a really strong finish. We've talked about it all the time. The Lady Sports really carried Texas to those first two Director's Cup wins. So as we talk about it, Brett, like when we look at projecting forward, I won't have you do your final prediction left, but like what's still out there for Texas versus Stanford? Like what goes into your calculations?
Yeah, I like the suspense here.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I'll step back and say I didn't give this explanation earlier to any new listeners, but the current scoring system is the 19 sports. You have the four that you have to include and then your best 15 otherwise. So, you know, Stanford and Texas are going to light up the scoreboard going forward. I think between the two, it was last week I posted that I think they had 9 top 3 finishes predicted between the two of the schools. So they're going to win national championships. They're going to have podium finishes, both schools. So it's going to be a heavyweight boxing match going forward. Some of the big things to watch, baseball, which is a required sport. Stanford, unless they win the Pac-12 conference championship tournament, I think they're going to miss the postseason and they're going to have to put a zero on their scorecard for baseball. So stay tuned into that Pac-12 baseball championship tournament when it comes to that, because they could sneak in and earn some points there, which would be huge. But the other side of that is Texas baseball, who a couple weeks ago was, you know, maybe in the tournament, maybe not. They needed to finish strong and they've had a strong, strong turn of events here. Looking like a 3 seed, maybe even a 2 seed. So, you know, I feel more and more confident every game that Texas baseball wins that they're going to make the postseason and avoid putting a zero on the scorecard. So that's huge. Rowing, softball, those are going to be some head-to-head matchups potentially that are going to be huge. Both all four teams, so both men's and women's tennis team from Texas and Stanford, all four of those teams are in the Sweet 16 for tennis. So that's huge. The women's team from Texas and the men's team from Stanford are both looking to get some icing on the cake and outscore their projection. So, you know, this women's tennis match that we have coming up against UCLA, even if we lose it, it's okay. It doesn't hurt the projection. We were projected to get to the Sweet 16. If we can advance, you know, that's just bonus points for us. Stanford's men's tennis already earned themselves some extra points over their projection by knocking off OU. So that was one of those matchups that happens where it's like, do I root for, you know, OU to knock off the Director's Cup rival, or do I root for Stanford to knock off the more natural rival? So, you know, tennis and golf is going right now. So can Stanford win the women's golf championship? Anything less than a championship for Stanford's women's golf is a little bit of a disappointment for them.
Yeah.
And they're likely to do it, but golf is golf, so it's weird. And then we need both, you know, men's and women's golf for Texas to advance, you know, make the top 30 field that goes on to finals, and then, you know, make some noise there to at least get close to the projected score that we're looking at.
I want to rewind a little bit because we can't overstate the head-to-head wins that we've already seen from Texas. Obviously, the rowing one doesn't count, but it's a preview of what may happen in the championship. And then if we go all the way back to the first sport that scored for Texas, beating Stanford in the NCAA regionals in volleyball and then going on to get a big hundy by beating Nebraska in the finals, like that was a big point swing in your calculations if memory serves.
Yeah, that's right. They were both sitting at 73 points at that point, and Texas went on to add the 27 final points to get to 100. And, you know, in the meantime, they stopped Stanford from doing the exact same thing. So, you know, it's a huge swing, and that's why it's fun to watch this. You know, it gives some excitement and flavor to sporting events that might not otherwise have as much excitement around them. You know, I would not have been paying attention, honestly, to Stanford OU men's tennis in the round of 52 had it not been for the Director's Cup.
Right. It makes it gets you invested in other things, right? It's got to get you excited about things. So now, after all of the excitement, the teasing for it, we're going to get the prediction. But before we do that, again, anytime we talk predictions, got to talk about Prize Picks. That is the best legal way to play player prop in state like California, Florida, Texas, and more. It's an easy way to play daily fantasy. Just pick 2 to 5 players on an over-under, and their projections can win you up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projections. You've got a lot to choose from right now. Basketball, you've got baseball, you've got also, you can mix sports. You can go LeBron on the over. He's not playing, but in theoretically, right? You can go, who's someone still playing in the NBA right now? I don't know. But you can pick them on the over and then pick a baseball player on the over as well. MMA, boxing, all of it is available. And just for all of our listeners, you can get a $100 instant deposit match up to, again, up to $100. They'll match your intro deposit up to 100% using the code Longhorn12. That's Longhorn12 over at Prize Picks. Grab the app from your app store and get started today. So with that, Brett, let's make our prediction. Where do you have Texas finishing 2023-2024 Director's Cup? What's your prediction?
You know, if anybody's been following along, which I hope you all have, you know, it's been neck and neck. The last few predictions I've put out on Twitter, you know, Texas has had an edge. I think I explained the last projection I made. You know, it was about a 37-point lead for Texas. And I said that entire lead is based on Texas baseball making the postseason and scoring some points. And that felt a little shaky, a little uncomfortable. Like I said, feeling more and more comfortable with that. And I don't see any other team for Texas really falling off a cliff. You know, we could score a handful of points less than what I'm projecting here. But for the most part, you know, unless there's just a catastrophe, Texas, I think, has a lot of good opportunities to match their projections, maybe lose a handful of points here or there. Stanford, on the other hand, the sports that I have them scoring in going forward, some of their sports, you know, if they don't have a big finish, they're just not going to make it on their scorecard, and that's not no big deal. But the sports that I see scoring for them are all some really high finishes. So women's golf, rowing, women's tennis, water polo, softball, these are all really high finishes for Stanford. So if anything, as a Stanford fan, I'm looking at this and saying, you know, Stanford could potentially drop some points. Stanford has a much taller task of adding points to their projected total, and they're more likely, if anything, to lose some points here or there. So all that said, I really like where Texas stands. There's a lot of finishes left. Texas has 9 sports left to finish. So you lose a handful of points here or there, this number could definitely drop. But right now I have Texas coming out on top with about 1,381 points. And I have Stanford close behind them, but about 55 points behind at 1,324. So it's a pretty decent spread in favor of Texas right now.
So like a 55-point swing, what would that take if your prediction wasn't come to pass? Like what's the nightmare scenario for that?
You know, I've been thinking about this, and it's a little hard to simply put into words because it could come in a lot of different ways. You know, rowing, for example, I have them projected to score 100 points. Well, if you drop to second place, you lose 10 points right there. So that's 90. Now, softball for Texas, again, they're the one seed right now, 100 points. Well, if they lose early, if they, you know, get upset in a super regional, well, they've just dropped 36 points. So they can lose a big chunk of points really quickly by getting upset at some point. So all the sports and the scoring systems work a little bit different based on if is it a bracket? Is it individual team scoring where they're just ranked, you know, 1 through 60? So you can lose a handful of points here or there, or you can have a huge chunk of points that you lose. So there's a lot of scenarios that still need to play out here. And we saw a big swing last year. Texas was looking pretty good, and they'd lose a chunk of points here or there. Stanford would add a chunk of points here or there, and that allowed Stanford to swing it in their favor. So we still have to let all of this play out and see how it actually happens in reality. But Texas is in a strong position right now.
So what we're saying is don't bet the farm on it, but don't take this as betting advice.
If it's on Prize Picks, I wouldn't bet the farm on it, but I'd be comfortable putting a bet down for Texas.
Okay, I'll take that. Well, Brett, man, thank you so much for that rundown. Man, folks, if they want more of what you've got to offer of the Director's Cup dates, man, where can they find you on the internet?
Yeah, I post all my updates on Twitter. I'm @Direct_CupDates. So please follow me over there. I love interacting with people, answering questions. So make sure you follow if you don't already. Please check me out over there.
And I appreciate you upholding our podcast effort to never call it X, only calling it Twitter. So I really, really appreciate that.
I didn't even think about it, to be honest.
As you shouldn't, because that was a silly decision to change the name. That's neither here nor there. But Brett, man, thank you so much, man. If you want to hang out, all we've got is Bang the Drum left. If you got something to bang the drum on, feel free to hang out. I'd love to hear your non-Director's Cup thoughts on whatever the heck's going on in sports.
Yeah, let's bang the drum together. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So that brings us to the part of the show where we honor one of the best traditions in all of college athletics, Big Bertha, and we bang the drum, brought to you by Joe Ruiz. So Brett, what are you banging the drum on this week?
I thought about this before I hopped on with you guys because I know y'all do this every week. And now I'm blanking on my bang the drum. Why don't you take it while I think about what I had brewing?
Absolutely. So I'm banging the drum this week on a long off season. It is not quite the end of the athletic and academic years, but we're rounding it. That's why we're having this show, right? And it feels like we are speed running the off season. If you look at the online discourse, maybe you're not as chronically online as I am, but chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you are probably pretty chronically online. But we're like speed running the off season. We are having all of the dumb, like normally like June, July conversations are already happening. And it's like the first week of May. So we need everybody to calm down. And I'm not trying to take shots at anybody. And really, those of you that like wake up and choose violence against A&M and OU fans on Twitter, like you're fighting the good fight. I appreciate you. I don't have the mental energy or capacity to do that. So keep fighting the good fight. Keep swinging for the fences. Keep trying to dunk on these people in the quote tweets. But I don't have it in me. And I just need us to pause, like pump the brakes. We cannot be having backup quarterback drama on Twitter. We cannot be having arguments with random alumni. We can't be doing all these dumb things. There is enough beef happening on the internet right now. Just enjoy the Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef. Just pause. It's a long summer. We still have sports happening on the field. Just chill. Just pause. It's a long off season. Don't get to the June and July stuff yet. Just chill.
Let June and July speak for itself.
Exactly. So.
You gave me a moment to think, and I'm going to bang the drum on a couple of things here. First, I wanted to bang the drum on the Longhorn Republic podcast. Just wanted to thank you guys for having me on again. And, you know, I started following you guys in this podcast because of the rundowns y'all did, talking about all the sports, giving all the sports some shine. And, of course, there's a lot of overlap between following the Director's Cup and, you know, paying attention to the men's tennis bracket. So I appreciate you guys for doing that. And I listen to other podcasts, I'll be honest, but nobody covers the other sports like you do. So you and Kyle, so I really appreciate that. Keep up the good work. And then I'm going to bang the drum on some banging of round spherical objects on diamonds that UT is doing right now. Texas baseball and softball is just absolutely mashing the home runs. Reese Atwood, I don't know if you mentioned this earlier, but just broke the Texas single season home run record. I think she got up to 21, and they're as they demolished Texas Tech just totally. Texas baseball, for all the struggles they've had, are on pace to hit the most home runs as a team in a season. And we all remember 2 years ago what we saw Ivan Melendez do. So continue hitting those baseballs hard, continue winning games, and hopefully baseball and softball can both put together a nice postseason run.
Beautiful, beautiful. And again, Brett, I will, I'll Venmo you 10 bucks later for the nice things you just said about us. Now,
I think I missed a zero on there. It was 100 that I was agreeing to.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Okay. I'll get you. But that's all we've got for y'all this week, man. Brett, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Again, if you're not following him, @_cupdates on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter @GHGoodrich. Kyle, not on Twitter as much nowadays, but you can follow him @KyleCarpenter. Obviously, follow the show @LonghornPod. Thank you all so much for tuning in again this week. And until next time, hook 'em.
Welcome.